I feel like I'm breathing into this.
Somehow they came.
What's good, y'all?
Hey.
It's Angelica.
And it's Maddie.
And this is From Hell
From
They Came.
They came. What is the tea?
Sips tea. Sorry about my voice. I am sick, if you can't tell. I'm drinking hot tea with Maddie.
Mm-hmm. Shit's good.
Yeah, we're drinking Earl Grey.
I'm on my second cup, boy.
Yeah, it's a little tiny cup, so.
It is pretty tiny.
That's what she said. What's been going on, Maddie? What's happening?
Oh, I don't even want to talk. about that.
Do you need a rant again, or has it been a little bit better?
No, yeah, it's gotten better. Well, let's see. It's been, 2 weeks since I've seen you? What has happened?
How's Pride?
Oh, it was so fun.
You had fun. Yes, I didn't get to go. I was so upset.
It felt so colorful. I was like, am I color showing?
Beautiful.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was really great.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that it was... Well, I kind of knew, but I wasn't sure that it was like an all-day kind of event.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of woke up at like 2 p.m. and I was like,
oh,
what did I miss?
What's up, y'all?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm queer. Like, so, well, we didn't go till like about 6 p.m., and we're just like chilling the whole time, and we're just like, well, what do we do? So we're just kind of walking around, and then Gabby, we hung out at her work because it's like right there by SEC, where like the area is at.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hung out there like a few minutes before the parade, and then by the time like it started, we went to go find like our other friend by the heat, and it was pretty like that was a good spot. I think we just like stood the whole time, and it was something.
So you didn't go to the festival?
No. And I go to the festival. The next year.
The festival, I think, was like $10. That's where I was going to be at. But
Where was that at? I don't even... Is it Crockett Park?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was like all right there.
That's probably when I was asleep. It was probably going on.
Yeah. No, it was going on all night, I think. I don't know.
There was, I heard, an after party. And there was fireworks. We're like...
What the fuck?
Yeah. I guess it was just getting like really crowded. So they wanted to hit up like the other strip, of course. So we ended up like walking over there, and when we were leaving, we had like all these fireworks.
Oh yeah, when I got home, I saw the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh shit, that's
pretty.
Fireworks.
Yeah, from a distance, it looked pretty.
Hella fucking traffic here. Oh my god,
we got dropped off like right here too. That's why I was like, are you home? But you weren't home. I was like, can we? I was gonna ask, can we hang out for like a minute? It was so fucking hot that day too. Like, I got out of the car and I was like, nope, I'm staying in here. I could see it from the window.
Yeah,
it was so fucking hot.
Like right when you called me is when I drove away.
Damn,
I had
you did it on purpose. Huh?
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. I have your location on my phone at all times.
You do have my location.
I have you and
Angie. That's why I was like, I don't know why you ask where I'm at. I'm like, you know where I'm at.
I want to see if you're lying to me. Nah. Sometimes I forget I have y'all's location on.
No, same. I'm the same with, like, everybody else. I'm like, where are you? And they're like, and I look at their location. I'm like, oh, okay.
Never mind.
I just entered myself.
Don't
it's
respond.
Fine. Yeah.
No worries.
Making sure you're not dead. I think just a fact that it's important, at least someone in your friend group, to have your location.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, I have, like, 6.
Girl,
so I think I'm good.
My best friend, I was back home, and I was supposed to meet up with my other friends. It was me and my friend Brenda. And I was texting my best friend, Justinia, and I was just like, hey, where are you? What's going on? She wasn't answering her phone, her text messages. Mm-hmm. Her boyfriend called me. I was like, hey, have you heard from Jess? And I was like, no. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? What's going on?
The fuck, where are
I
you?
I checked her location. It showed that she was in the Brazos River.
What?
Yes, it showed that she was in the Brazos River. I got so scared.
What's going on? I'm just taking a swim.
I ended up texting, I DM'd her sister on Twitter, and then she didn't respond, and then I messaged her mom on Facebook, and I was like, where's Jess?
Yeah.
She's not responding.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out this bitch was asleep.
She's like, I like to sleep in the river.
I was so upset. No, I don't know why it just kept showing, like, it would show she's in the Brazos River, and then it would show she's at home, but then it would show that she's,
which one is it?
Right in between the Brazos River and where she lives, and then it showed she's in the, like, I was so upset. My mom still jokes about it.
Oh, my God.
My mom's like, hey, have you talked to Jess? And I'm like, oh, yeah, but, like, and I'll tell her. She's like, oh, I was just worried because she might be in the Brazos River. And I said, bitch, you better stop.
That's fucked up.
She thinks it's so hilarious.
And, like, she really enjoys sleeping to, like, sounds of nature and the water.
Yeah, she was like, I just wanted to take a little nap and then, like, get ready. She was like, I didn't mean to, like, oversleep.
Yeah, the water's fine. Come on in.
Come on in.
I mean, it's especially this day and age. I think it's just important. And it's honestly, like, a cool factor to have, like, if with an iPhone, not an Android. Just to have, like, that. Just gonna, whoever has an Android, get with it. 2019, the same.
But other than Pride, work going good?
No, I just can't stop thinking about Pride.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It was my first time going, and I can't wait to go.
Babies the following year.
Yeah.
I
hatched out of my little shell and finally went.
So does that mean you're full gay now? No, I'm just kidding.
I think I got my card back.
You got your card?
Yeah, I got my gay card back.
That's dope.
But now work has been chill. Well, this whole 4th of July week, I was off from school. They decided to, like, get us a day off, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, not a day off, but a week off.
Yeah.
And so since I was off from school, it was kind of tight because I didn't have to be up at, like, 6 a.m. So I could go to bed whenever the fuck I wanted. And so I would go to work around, usually in the afternoons or the evenings, and then I work up till like 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what I watched in this time frame that I've been from, like, out of school and, like, able just to stay up.
Okay.
Let's start off. Let's see. I watched Matrix 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was having a blast of the past.
Okay. I was about to interrupt, but you know what? Keep going. Because I remember another that you had tweeted that you were watching.
I watched all the Matrixes. I don't know if you remember that movie with Vin Diesel, XXX.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I'm telling you, I'm taking a blast to the past. And let's see, I watched this movie called Hitman. I don't know if you remember that. It's kind of like, it was based off a PlayStation 2 video game. What else? Let's see.
Fast and the Furious.
Yes. You already know.
That's the one.
I was trying to wait. What else did I watch? But yeah, so I watched Fast and the Furious, Too Fast,
Tokyo Drift,
and I stopped at the 4th. So I'm currently, I need to watch the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. So I'm halfway there.
Damn, there's that many?
I believe there's 8, yeah. And then somehow, like, The Rock comes in. At 4?
That's when The Rock comes in, 4 or 5.
I think it's 5, because, like, it might be 5, yeah, because that's where he's in the poster now. But yeah, so I don't know, like, my whole life, I kind of thought, like, the movies were stupid. I was like, oh, that's stupid. It's about racing and stuff. You know, blah, 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 talking all this shit. And then I finally watched it and I was like, man, I've been missing out on this. Yeah, it's actually really good. Like, it's stupid again.
I will say it's good.
I wanted to get into Bring It On. I tried.
Oh my bitch!
I love Bring It On.
So loud. And I wanted.
Yes!
Yes! Yes!
I've been meaning to watch it, but I just hadn't had time. I was finishing everything else.
Those were my movies. Like,
they were such good.
I remember vividly when we had first moved to the town that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
We had an apartment, and I remember for my birthday, it was a sleepover after we did, like, all the activities that my mom planned for us. Mm-hmm. I have pictures of it too.
Fuck.
We sat in my room. And we watched Bring It On, and we did the cheers along with them.
Yes, we need to remake this. I had a friend at the time when I was little, and we would just, like, recite the words to each other. Like, I don't remember it now, but we would always just, like, talk. Like, I would be.
I can't even think of it.
Like, I'd be, like, the guy, and she'd be the girl, or, like, we'd switch off. I'd be one person, she'll be the other. We'll just, like, try to reenact it. it's such a fun movie.
I love that movie.
So enough about what I've been up to. What have you been doing? I see that you're sick.
I'm sick. I've been sick since...
Sending positive vibes.
Wednesday? Yeah. Thank you. I really need them. I get a summer fever every year. So I had, like, a fever yesterday.
That sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten it since I was little. But now I'm doing a lot better. I'm just, like... drainage in my nose and my ears. It's leaking out of my ears right now. Exactly. Nothing has been going on. I watched The Hills so I could watch the new season. The new season fucking sucks.
Oh, no. Oh, has it came out yet?
It came out. It's on episode 3. Is going to come out on Monday.
Oh, you're all, that's enough.
Yeah, yeah, man, they're annoying. I want Lauren Conrad back.
Damn.
I love
Lauren. I used to love, you know how those scenes were like, they would, well, it would be like a scene in the show and it was so like the music playing and it'll have like the name of the band and the mm-hmm. song title. Do they still do that? Or like, yeah. do they do that? Okay, I wasn't sure if I was just like making that up, but no, yeah, no, I remember no. that.
Okay, so I remember. Oh.
Damn. Womp, womp, womp.
Just drop that.
Man, yeah. I think we're just like both out of it.
Yeah.
It's been a long. I worked like 40 hours this week and I was like, this 40 fucking hours? Sucks.
I don't know how many I worked because I called in. But I also did get holiday pay.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. But that makes up for
what
me.
What are you,
not,
money maker?
No, not really. Okay. Because that makes up for me calling in for being sick.
I know. I fucking hate calling in.
Oh,
what happened?
I saw Midsommar.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my god! Okay. It's so fucking
one out of
good.
10. 1 out of 10.
I say a solid 10.
Solid 10. Okay.
But mm-hmm. I just like it because it's so realistic.
Ooh.
The scenes are fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I really heard like. I think just going in from Hereditary, because I was like, have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like, Hereditary everyone, was such a good movie.
Yeah, and everyone was expecting it to be like that, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Hereditary was, there were two different types of creepy.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, creepy because it's, like.
It could happen? Or?
No, Hereditary.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was more creepy because, like, it was weird. Mm-hmm. It was.
It makes you, like, uneasy and.
Yeah, and it mm-hmm. was more, like, demonic.
Yeah.
Creepy, whereas Midsommar was more realistic creepy. Like, that ooh, could literally
like
happen to anyone. Have you seen
The Strangers?
Kind of.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, what happened in that movie, Midsommar, were my, like, it's literally one of my biggest fears,
mm-hmm.
going somewhere and what happens to them happened.
I'm excited to see. I haven't
really
seen
good.
That yet.
It's really good.
I actually read into it, more or less. Like, I try not to ruin anything for myself, but uh-huh. I was just wanting a better understanding of what it really was about.
Yeah, because I went in not really mm-hmm. knowing what's happening, because I didn't even, deadass, I didn't even know that movie came out.
Really?
Yeah, oh, but shit. My friend was like, let's go watch it, and I was like, okay let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but it's really good. I really recommend it. Don't expect it to be, like, Hereditary.
Oh, no. Like, yeah, I've heard that too. Like, don't, like, just pretty much just forget about Hereditary when you see
yeah,
this movie.
Basically.
I also mentioned too, I saw Chucky. Have you seen it yet?
No. No. I have not.
It's kind of the same thing as to the same concept as how talking about Midsommar and Hereditary, let's forget about Hereditary.
Uh huh.
So, with this new Chucky of like that came out this year, it's pretty much just like forget about all the other Chuckies.
I can't though.
I know.
I love old
it's the
Chucky.
Same, like, concept, killer dog, gonna get you.
Yeah.
But it's good in its own way because it's not trying to be like the older movies. Like, it's not like a remake of the first one. It's kind of like
its own.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And it's still the storyline where, like, the boy and the doll and his mom thinks, like, the boy's crazy or just, like.
He loco.
Yeah. Or, like, just the mom's, like, not. Like, no one's believing the boy.
Yeah.
Basically. But it's really good in its own way. And I thought it was going to be, like, really cheesy because if you look at the. Like, the appearance of the doll now, it's really. And you kind of have to get past that, honestly. Like, that's one of the things.
I think that's why, because one, I don't like how he looks.
Mm-hmm.
I miss, like, Stitches, Staple Chucky.
Yeah.
Like
Staple, Bright Up Chucky.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Like, that's my dude. Like, I love how too. He looked like that.
But yeah, like, once you get past, like, I think I told Gabby that he reminds me of, like, a handsome Squidward Chucky.
Oh, my God.
Because his jawline is.
I can see it. Yeah. Well, today we're going to be talking about some killers,
bum, bum.
Serial killers. You're probably thinking we're going to talk about like Ted Bundy, John mm-hmm. Wayne Gacy,
so we're not?
Richard Ramirez, H.H. Holmes. We're not ooh. Talking about those fuckers.
Okay. I was really hoping we were, but it's fine, I guess.
No.
Can we're I go talking home now?
About, stop. We're going to be talking about some other not as well known.
Mm-hmm.
Killers. I know the guy that I'm doing today. I had never heard about him.
Ooh.
Never, ever.
I'm nervous.
Ever. Are you?
Yes. I'm like ready to go on this roller coaster of
all right.
killing.
Well, stop.
I don't know what else to call it. A murder.
I know, right? I'm going to be talking about Luis Gavarito.
Ooh.
A.K.A. The Beast.
That's what they call me. Stop. Tell me more.
All right. So he was born January 25th, 1957 in Genova, Colombia. He's the oldest of seven kids. He had a difficult childhood and was abused by his father. He started working as soon as he left home around the age of 18, moved a lot looking for jobs. Even though he moved a lot, he actually had a girlfriend at some point named Teresa, who actually had a son.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of his friends would say that he was kind but yet easily angered. He even had an... Well, this doesn't really partake in the how he was, but I was like, he even had an eye condition.
No wonder he was angry all the time.
Right. He had a...
Because at least he had a one eye.
Stop. He had an eye condition, which was rare and found in a particular age of men. He had special pair of glasses designed for this condition. Now, before I get into more in depth on who he targeted, how he killed them, I do want to let you guys know... It is a little bit gruesome. It's really sad. Even while I was typing up all my notes, I was really upset. So just keep in mind, you might have to skip forward a bit. I don't know.
Don't turn it off.
Just skip ahead, please. Yeah. Don't listen to Maddie. Don't ever listen to Maddie. His victim type was little boys, age 6 to 16. They were most of the time homeless, peasants, or orphans.
I want to say something, but...
What?
It's funny because my story is tied into the same, like, a little boys and really? Orphaned or... Yeah. Oh,
it's so sad. Yeah. So the reason he chose homeless, peasants, orphans was because at the time of his killings, it was during the Civil War in Colombia. So those were his easily targeted... people. He would approach them in crowded streets and along countryside, most of the time bribed them with money, candy, and odd jobs. He usually was dressed up as a farmer, homeless man, street vendor, drug dealer, or older man, or a gambler.
Damn.
Yeah, so he had his, like, routine of, these are the kids I'm going to target, this is how I'm going to look so that I can easily attract them to me.
It's really thought out.
Yeah, honestly. And it's sick and twisted. Once the kids trusted him, he would walk them around like aimlessly until they were tired, you know, just make them vulnerable.
Yeah.
This makes me sad. First, he would tie them up, remove clothes, and proceed to rape them, torture, and sometimes even decapitate the boys. They would endure prolonged rape and torture and have their buttocks stabbed and have sharp objects inserted into their anus. Sometimes he would even sever their testicles and put them in the boys' mouths.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah. I'm getting so upset just reading this. Many years, the murders would go unnoticed because obviously the police weren't reporting missing children because of the Civil War, because the little boys were losing their parents, like, because of the Civil War.
Yeah.
In 1992, they actually started to notice that boys age of 6 to 16 were disappearing, and this pretty much just alarmed them, like, why are all these kids going missing? What the hell's going on? So on February 1998... outside Genova, Colombia, two bodies of children were found lying next to each other on a hill. 2 days later, meters away, which I don't know how how much that is.
Meters? How many meters?
I don't know how to convert, so I just wrote meters because that's what I read.
Okay.
Meters away.
That's like... Nah, don't
even try.
Let me put on my sheet.
Another child's naked body was found. Both scenes had the murder weapon. All three bodies had their hands bound and showed signs of sexual assault. So, obviously, that was his M.O. That's what he would do to them.
Yeah, that's his signature.
Yeah. A note was found at the scene, had an address, which led them to Teresa. If you remember Teresa.
His girlfriend.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So, she was contacted, but she let them know that she hadn't heard from Luis in months.
Fuck.
She actually gave them a bag of Luis's stuff, which contained pictures of young boys, detailed journals.
Damn, she was over him. She was like, take him.
Yeah.
Honestly.
They found pictures of young boys, detailed journals of his murders, tally marks of his victim, and bills.
Oh, shit. Bills? Like,
yeah.
Like dollar bills?
No, like you owe money for your electricity.
Oh.
Those kind of bills.
She's like, take those too. Yeah. Just take everything.
Right. So on April 22nd, 1999, a homeless man saw Luis and a little boy struggling, somewhat fighting, and felt that the boy needed help. So Luis was actually arrested on unrelated charges of the attempted rape.
Mm-hmm.
After briefly interrogating him, detectives actually suspected that he might be the Beast, which was his nickname.
Yeah.
I just wanted to note on some of the evidence that they found. They found DNA on victims, his DNA, glasses made specifically for his unique eye condition, which I mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah. So I was just like, he was just a pissed off man, huh?
Yeah. They
was he born like that, did you say? Or he was, oh, okay.
Yeah, at an age.
Like he didn't like lose in an accident?
It's not that he lost an eye. Mm-hmm. It was just he had a very, very rare eye condition.
Oh, okay.
That I want to say was like at the age of 30 he got, but I could be wrong.
Oh.
So they found his eyeglasses at a massive grave, empty liquor bottles, his underwear, and occasionally his shoes. Though they had all of this evidence, they couldn't be like, it was him. They had to obviously prove that, one, he had an eye condition, and two, get his DNA. So to prove about his eye condition, police made it mandatory to do a test. They decided to do it at the whole prison to make him less suspect. Like, obviously, like, hey, guys, we're going to do this eye thing. While he was out of his cell, detectives collected DNA samples from his pillow and living area, which, of course, matched.
Yeah.
The worst part about, like, everything after they collected all this DNA and obviously had proof that it was him, at one point, the detectives actually read to him what they found at the murders, how they found the boys, to Luis, and it actually made him cry.
So he felt, like, bad?
I don't know if he felt bad. It's just...
like the fact that he got caught, or just
maybe. But it's fucking twisted. Like they read what
like
he did.
Like it hits him. Like yeah, like dude, you fucking did that. Yeah.
So after making him cry, making him the bitch that he is, he actually confessed.
One eye bitch.
What'd you say?
One eye bitch.
One eye bitch. He doesn't have one eye. Well, just whatever. Had an eye condition.
What you mean? It's like one eye because it's not working.
Stop. He confessed to murdering 140 children.
Oh my god. Sorry. Continue.
But was charged with killing 172 throughout Colombia, found guilty on 138 of those 172. He was sentenced to 1,853 years and nine days.
That's a lot.
But law limits imprisoned for 40 years, so it was reduced to 22 years. So because of the Colombia law, they could only sentence him
to
22 years. But... Colombian law says those who commit crimes against children do not receive any benefit with justice and are required to spend at least 60 years of their sentence in prison. So he would spend 80 years in jail.
Fuck yeah.
So from that 1,853 years, and 9 days. Don't forget the 9 days.
9 days, yeah. Important.
Yes. He only would be spending 80 years. So no matter what, he was dying in prison.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So he's currently in a Colombian prison. The location is unknown.
So he's still alive?
He's still alive.
Wow.
From when I wrote these notes, he's still alive. He had to make an arrangement with the police.
Where's he at? I just want to talk.
The location is unknown, unfortunately.
I'm just trying to talk.
He had to make arrangements with police due to his worry about his safety. So basically, he's separated from other prisoners. He's scheduled to be released from prison in 2021.
Oh shit, that's literally 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Do you think it's gonna happen?
No. He's gonna die. And if he does get out,
fingers
crossed, someone's gonna kill him.
No, yeah. Wishful thinking.
Right. Many criticized the possibility of his early release. Many increasingly felt the sentence was not sufficient enough for the crime that he committed.
Yeah.
Like, all of those children, they didn't get to live their life.
Did they have death row? Thinking ahead.
Really? That's literally my next bullet point. Always doing this.
I'm sorry. I'm just curious.
Some argued either life in prison or death penalty, which neither exist in Colombia.
Colombia, get your shit together.
Yeah. Colombia law does not provision or method to impose sentence longer than what he received. Mm-hmm. So because of Colombia law, they can't exceed what he was sentenced. Mm. Like, that's the most that's that they it? Can do. Oh,
I guess, yeah.
And that's the Colombian serial killer, Luis Gavarito, the Beast.
I love that.
I had to end it a better way.
Y'all just heard Angelica's The Beast story.
Yeah.
And so, so today, oh, we're going back to the past. We're taking a blast to the past.
Uh-huh.
In the 15th century. We're going back. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Alrighty. So this guy, and I've kind of put a lot of background history to this guy because I felt like with this story, it needed to pretty much tie in as to why, what happened. Like, mm-hmm. what was that trigger?
What caused it?
Yeah. So I included a lot of backstory and I just wanted, so that way it would give a better understanding as to what happened and just how everything came together.
Okay.
So yeah, it might be a little long, so I'm very apologizing. God. And it's one of those must be warned as well, because it's pretty intense what we go through.
Okay.
Are you ready? Are you strapped in? All right, she's strapping in. Okay, so his name's Gilles de Rais, French.
Okay.
So he was a character from what I was really trying to get into. He was one of those, like, he was just, like, stupid asshole and all those names.
Uh-huh.
But, so he was a 15th century French nobleman. He was best remembered for his service as a war hero who led the French army, alongside the French national hero of Joan of Arc. And this kind of ties in with old history. I don't know if you're ever a fan of history or, like, in, like, social studies or just, like, history class.
I'm more of a Texas history kind of person.
Okay.
But go on.
You're fine. Well, I don't know if you remember European history. Joan of Arc was, she was well known. And so he fought alongside her. He's remembered for that. He was remembered for being her ally and helping her in the... was it the French versus England War?
Mm-hmm.
And so, which was called the Hundred Years' War. And he's also remembered for murdering over 100 young children.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So, let's talk about his early life.
Okay. Well,
you know. Let's see here. So, Gilles de Rais was born in 1404. He was born into a wealthy family in northern France. He was described as bright. He wrote manuscripts, spoke Latin fluently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? And he learned military tactics. He was a whiz in, like, music. Like, he was just, like, bright child overall.
Yeah.
Fortunately, when he was 10, his parents died, and he was put into the custody of his grandfather, who was a political schemer. That's what... They didn't get much about the grandfather, but he was just, like, a political schemer, I guess. Well... His grandfather tried marrying him off. So you know how back then you could get married at whatever the fuck age you wanted.
13, 12, yeah.
So it didn't say what age, but his grandfather pretty much tried to get him married. Like, he set up so many dates for him or so many, like, women.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, no, this isn't for me. And then, well, eventually he got married off to a wealthy heiress who, and because of that marriage, it increased his fortune.
Pause.
So what happened?
Heiress? Like, Paris Hilton is an heiress to the Hilton company.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Harris. Let me start over.
Okay. Okay. Go.
Okay. So, his grandfather married him off to what, the Harris?
Heiress.
Okay, let me try again.
The H is silent. Okay, relax. Man. Okay.
Yeah?
Go.
Okay. So his grandfather married him off to what, the heiress, who greatly increased his fortune. Okay, so his military life. He became a soldier around the age of 16 and participated in what was known as the Hundred Years' War.
Ooh.
He was a leader in the French military. And for those, I guess, who don't remember, or just to try to remember the Hundred Years' War, it was a series of conflicts fought between England and France over the French throne. And overall lasted pretty much 116 years. During this time in the military, the French military, he fought alongside Joan of Arc and became her chief lieutenant in the process. He was a war hero. He was appointed Marshal of France at age 25, and that was, like, the top rank, basically.
Damn, he was
he was getting it. Yeah. So you know, like all his life, he was pretty much like, I'm that bitch, basically. He was even a devout Christian. He respected and he had such admiration for Joan that it was described as immeasurable. So she was somebody that Joe DeRay really looked up to. Mm-hmm. It's stated that he grew to love her, not romantically, but just that, like, he that idol. Love, yeah.
I love you. Like, I don't love you romantically,
I got you, you got me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it was, it even stayed not romantically, but rather on a spiritual level, you know?
Platonically, straight platonic. Yeah.
So they fought together in some major battles of her short career. For those who don't know or don't remember, she was captured by the English and then burnt at the stake.
I didn't know that.
Really? Yeah, I don't know. It's like a long time. I didn't really look too much into her because I just forgot about so much that I learned.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was captured by English and burned at the stake. But right after, though, she was also that bitch. Yeah, so like she led the French. Like she definitely was like that big help in the French, this war.
Yeah.
So it's thought because of her death that he went mad and turned to alchemy and murder.
Oh, shit.
So upon hearing the news, he felt betrayed both God and by the church for abandoning Joan. Because she was, like, also a Christian as well. Mm-hmm. He truly believed that his many years of worship and devotion to God had all pretty much amounted to nothing. He then retired from the military and returned to his castle, where he started to spend pretty much all of his wealth on... So he would... I would like to think of him as, like, the Great Gatsby. Because you know how the Great Gatsby, if you remember that story, how he would throw parties, like...
Yeah, just to throw them because he had a void in his heart.
Yes.
For Daisy.
But this one...
But in this case...
He didn't really have any reason, but he was pretty much that person who would throw, like, parties, plays, festivals. He would throw banquets. Everything. He would throw, like, tournaments, like, all these that were open to the public, and it would last all day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it was like... It was like a fiesta times 10.
Oh, my God, not fiesta.
Plus PTSD. So, you know, he was just living the life, just blowing his money however he spent. He was now bankrupt.
Oh, my God.
He was no longer involved with the military, so he began selling his properties to support his lifestyle. He got so desperate, he seeked out alchemists and sorcerers who pretty much told him they could create gold, or they would help him in creating gold. So he turned his castle into, like, some kind of laboratory. He had, like, a castle. I don't know if it was, like, an actual castle, just, like, big old mansion type of deal. Well, he turned it into a laboratory. So he invited these people, these alchemists and sorcerers, to aid him, but they, like, no one was really successful in actually creating gold.
Mm-hmm. It was all just talk.
Yeah, they just want to hang out, I guess. I don't know. Bum out. I'm homeless, but I'll help you create gold
something. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I can pay rent. It's coming. So one day, an Italian sorcerer by the name of Antonio Francisco Preletti, he approached Ray. He told Ray that he needed the help of Satan in order to succeed in making gold. Require doing, violent acts in his name. And this guy was pretty much just like, okay, like, no problem. That's fine. We could do that.
So for Satan to help him, he had to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah. All right. We get in there. Yeah, we get in it. We get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
So there is a demon by the name of Baron that this sorcerer guy, what's his name? Francisco. He pretty much told him about this demon named Baron.
Stop saying a name.
Sorry. Bay
stop.
I was trying to change it up. I was all bacon.
B, let's call him B.
The B. Having told that B demanded the soul of at least one child. His first murders occurred between 1431 and 1433. He murdered a boy and dismembered him, placing his limbs inside a glass vessel. He also wrote down formulas and evocations using his blood.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And this was an attempt to summon B.
Mm-hmm.
And this was also kind of where he developed a desire for killing.
Mm-hmm.
From here on out, he needed to torture and kill children sadistically. He found much greater he was just so satisfied with that, much rather than go with that, he was like, I'm just going to do this instead,
basically. Yeah, so basically, it first started off with him killing mm-hmm. to satisfy B, for B to help him.
Yeah, but he found so much pleasure in killing, and he was just like, I'm just going to keep on doing this.
I'm just going to do it just for the hell of it.
Just for myself now.
Yeah.
And so he, so on May 15th, 1440, Ray, he abducted and murdered a, no, I'm sorry, not murdered. He abducted pretty much just like this clerk. And this, when he attempted to abduct him, he had him, I believe like so many days, it caught the attention of the Bishop of Nantes. Mm-hmm. And it was just like pretty much this widespread. And it kind of led to the investigation of most of him and the crimes that he committed. And we're going to jump into the killings. And this is another warning. So
be prepared.
Yeah, it really fucking sucks. I'm ready. Over the course of 8 years, from 1432 to 1440, Gilles Leray, with the help of several loyal accomplices. So each night, he would send out his trusted servants to find and abduct unaccompanied peasant children walking along the roads. The causes of death range from dismemberment, decapitation, to strangulation. Mm. His preference in children were blonde hair and blue eyes between the ages of 6 to 18. And he was also a blonde hair and blue-eyed baby.
Himself.
And probably, man, it's just weird because it's his pictures. It looks like he has black hair. I don't know what happened.
I mean, after time, maybe. Because I know sometimes people with blue eyes who are born with blue eyes, they get green eyes. But, oh my God.
Yeah.
6 to 18?
Between ages 6 to 18.
Damn.
And the way he would get these boys, these children, it was actually both boys and girls, but he preferred boys.
Okay.
So the way he would go about this is that he would talk to their parents, and the parents would hand their children over to him in exchange for, because, you know, he was wealthy. Mm-hmm. So he would ask them to, in exchange for money, clothing, and food. So the parents were led to believe that he was pretty much training their children to be like some kind of knight or choir boys. Mm-hmm. There are also children beggars who would stop at his castle asking for food. And whenever the beggars came by, he would look out the window of his castle with his servants and point out the children that he wanted brought to him.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. It gets worse.
Oh my God. No. So much worse. Okay.
Okay. So he was, in a way, he was still killing for himself, but he still wanted that evil with the demon. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a both that good double deal.
Yeah.
So he began his ritualistic killings by providing, so he would kidnap these children and he would give them like such extravagant clothes and just like finery, fine mm-hmm. jewelry, and just pretty much just like spoil them.
Make them look all nice.
Yes. And then he would offer them alcohol. And so when he would get them at the most vulnerable, that's when pretty much he would take action and just,
no.
Yeah. So rumors began to circulate. Children had gone missing in the areas around his castle. And many of the disappearances seemed to be connected to the activities of him and his servants. He would kind of taunt them. He would strip them down, hang them from the ceiling until they lost consciousness. Oh, eventually taking them down and assuring them he meant no harm. Like, oh, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
He would then masturbate on their bodies.
Ew.
After masturbating on their bodies, he would sexually assault them before being decapitated or having their throats cut ear to ear.
Oh my God. So he would hang them upside down.
Mm-hmm. He would just kind of toy with them at first. Yeah.
Wait till they're unconscious, masturbate on them.
Then proceed to
kill them.
Yeah.
What?
Sometimes
the fuck?
He kidnapped them in pairs so that one would have to watch what the other went through.
No. Mm. Oh my God.
Oh.
I hate this story.
I know, I'm sorry. I don't think you can tell. I'm having a hard time reading this too.
Oh my God.
So an accomplice of his was named Henriette. He soon began to collect children for his master. Mm-hmm. And he was an accomplice that was present while he massacred them. He stated in the trial that when they had caught him, this is kind of just like his point of view, mm-hmm. that Ray would bathe in their blood, and he experienced intense pleasure in seeing them in their agonies. But his great passion was to welter in their blood. His servants would stab a child in the jugular vein and let the bane squirt over him. The room was often steeped in blood. When the horrible deed was done, the child was dead. He would then be filled kind of like with grief for what he had done, and would toss weeping and praying on a bed.
What the fuck?
Or recite prayers on his knees while his servants washed the floor and burned. They would pretty much burn the bodies in a huge fireplace after they were done with them. Done. Yeah. So they would burn the bodies, they would burn the clothes and everything that had belonged to the victims.
Oh my God.
I'm like, get a load of this guy, really?
Fuck that dude.
Fucking dick.
And anyway. Would pray.
Yeah, so like after like all he's of that, asking yeah.
for forgiveness.
He was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
No.
Yeah,
you're fucking just twisted fucking ass with motherfucker. That. I'm pissed. I'm angry.
This happened so long ago and I'm still pissed about it.
I'm still mad.
So the thing is that he had a common method of killing.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoyed decapitation.
Yeah.
He even had a special sword called a brachymard, and I could post a picture of it online, but it's described as a short, thick, double-edged sword. He would use to saw off the heads of his victims who were often still alive when the blade entered their throats. He was described as a pure sexual sadist.
Yes.
Yeah.
A sick sadist.
Definitely. And he would describe how he loved the elastic warmth of the victim's intestines.
Mm, I don't like this.
Oh, I'm sorry. He also liked to rip their hearts through wounds that he slowly enlarged. He was Maddie. Fucking. I'm telling you, like, this guy was. This is why I chose this story, because this was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like,
I've never heard of this.
I did not want to be the only one reading this. I was like, I need to share this with you and with everybody. Like, this is fucked up.
This is the most fucked up story I have ever heard.
Honestly. That was another. I was like, I need to research this. Like, what the fuck happened? He would get supreme enjoyment out of imposing sexual hell on his victims. Fucking obviously. And yeah. He would frequently bind his young male victims and masturbate on their stomachs and thighs before killing them.
Oh, my God.
He would sit there. Sometimes he would sit on the stomachs, and he would described as he watched the life slowly leave their eyes.
No. Oh my God. He's legitimately a psychopath. Oh,
it gets worse. It gets fucking worse.
Oh my God.
So he greatly admired beauty. He frequently sought out only the most handsome young boys, as his violent impulses were very sexual in nature. After the ordeal of torturing, killing, and mutilating his victims, he would keep a trophy to commemorate the occasion.
Oh my God. And what was that?
They were severed heads.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Oh my and God.
He would keep the handsomest victims' heads on a mantle where he found what he would frequently visit and kiss the decomposing lips of his deceased victims. Yeah. I'm telling you, like, this guy's fucked up.
He's fucked up.
So
in the head.
It says that one of his followers said that this guy kept a collection of heads on display in his secret rooms. He would ask his homies pretty much which heads were the most beautiful, and he would be seen often kissing the heads.
That's disgusting.
It is fucking weird.
I thought, dead ass, I thought you were going to say, like, he uses a head to, like, masturbate.
I want
to
be surprised at this point what else that's he did with disgusting. Those. I never noted anything about that, but honestly, that's a good, like,
probably
honestly at this point.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
It says that he had such satisfaction from doing all of these torturous and evil things, it would overwhelm him that he would faint upon reaching orgasm.
What the fuck?
Get this. At this point, his homies would carry him off to his bed where he would rest while they were left to dismember and dispose of the bodies. And I was like, if that's not true friendship, then I don't know what the fuck is.
But it's also terrible friendship because you're letting your friend do this.
I know. I just want to throw it out
there.
But
also, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you.
But like, I was like, they would have to carry him off to this bed. Like, grown ass fucking man.
Damn.
So if that wasn't already fucked up.
Yeah.
So he
There's
would.
More.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Let's see here. So he was, I put, a man of many names, a sadist, a pedophile, a murderer, cannibal, and last thing was he was a necrophiliac.
Oh, no.
As he was back to his practice of Satanists, being, you know, Satanism and being a Satanist. He confessed to evoked evil spirits on multiple occasions and made pacts with demons to obtain knowledge, wealth, and power.
Oh my God.
So the murders eventually morphed into occultist rituals or black masses of human sacrifice. Instead of displaying body parts as trophies, sometimes he would place them atop an altar. He would offer anything to these demons with the exception of his soul, which they thought it was kind of weird. Interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. Like, you can have everything but not my soul. Me.
Yeah, you ain't taking... So he would present these, like, the demons, or when he was doing rituals, he would present them with the heart, the eyes, the hand, and blood of a child to back to the demon. As a sign of tribute. And he would also continue to visit different sorcerers and conjurers to learn about the magical arts of geomancy and necromancy. So, you know, he got into a lot of this fucked up shit.
Yeah, occult stuff. All that mumbo jumbo stuff.
And this is kind of towards the end of everything where he's eventually, like, they kind of interrogate him. They, like, people started finding out, like, there's so many children going missing.
Only around his area.
Yeah.
So, obviously.
It's kind of like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So, many people stated to accuse him of kidnapping these children, and witnesses came forward. These accusations became so widespread that the church and authorities started to investigate. What led the church to take action was the kidnapping of the cleric from the church. And he had him as a prisoner for several months. So he pretty much got into a dispute with this person. He was a member of the church, and he captured him, and he held him for several months.
Hostage,
the church had to intervene because he was, like, a member. Yeah. And you know how back then in Europe, the church was pretty much just, like, that the government.
Higher power.
Yeah. And so that's when he was pretty much captured and put on trial when they noticed, like, that that guy was gone. And they're like, holy shit, where'd he go? But there had already been accusations long before his arrest that witnesses had been too intimidated to come forward for fear that his men would harm them. One person came forward saying that he was responsible for this appearance but had no idea what his motives were. So, and then another witness described one instance where he saw him and his men were carrying away roughly 40 skeletons from his from his mansion or his castle.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, but everyone was so afraid because he was that worthy guy. And, you know, he's like, I have this money. I have these men. Like, you say anything, like, it's
kind of like it's the mafia. On site.
Yeah. So a lot of people were just like, they witnessed, they just never spoke out about it. So he willingly confessed to all of his crimes in horrific details. His servants also testified and said that while he was present and listening, he heard him, that they would hear him boast that he took, you know, so much pleasure in killing and cutting the throats of these boys and girls and having them killed, their throat slits, and seeing them languish and die, their heads and limbs cut off one after the other inside of their blood than he did abusing them sexually. So he was just... really fucked up. Even the servants were like, yeah, he was fucked up.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He then believed that by confessing to all of his sins that he would have a greater chance at being forgiven by God.
No. Yeah. God said no.
Jesus God said no. Not today. Nope. You stand your ass down there. So near the end of all the trials of this trial, he had gotten down on his knees and begged God for mercy. In a document written at the trial, it was stated that as a Christian, he was their brother, and urging them and those among them whose children he had killed for the love of our Lord's suffering to be willing to pray to God for him and to forgive him freely. Some speculations and some questions brought up was that, was he truly repenting for his crimes, or was it just an attempt to, like, manipulate everybody? Everything. Yeah.
Oh my God. Definitely manipulation.
No, yeah, definitely. And so, let's see here.
Because he definitely was not sorry for what he did.
He knew what he was doing. Like, exactly. All of that seemed so planned out.
Hell yeah.
And so Pretty much by the end of everything, experts estimated that he killed between 80 and 200 children, most of them boys and some girls. Mm-hmm. He was arrested on September 15th and confessed to the murders and was sentenced. He was sentenced to death along with his accomplices. He was then hanged and burned on October 26, 1440 at the age of 36.
But
so he was young he was for very doing young. All of this.
And do you know, like, what was the full, like, time span, like, from, like, what year to what year that he was doing all of this? Or did they not really go in depth into that?
Oh, so it was 1432 to 1440. So that's... Oh, it was a time span of about 8 years.
Yeah. Damn.
And then just the last part was that he... It's just kind of like he just didn't care about God after he blamed him for betraying Joan of Arc. Like, a lot of people just kind of just, why did he do it? What happened?
What flipped that switch? I don't remember
at the beginning how he was such a devoted Christian with Joan of Arc and living with, you know, and there was titles of articles that kind of gave me chills because it was like the Christian and Satan side mm-hmm. by side, what would later be known as evil and all this stuff. And like
evil and good.
Yes. And so a lot of people are just like, well, what happened? And then they just stated that he said that the evil inside of him came from how he was born under a certain constellation and that nobody could ever understand the evil that he did. Other studies or proposed theories say that his motives were that supposedly he suffered from an identity crisis, suffering from schizophrenia. And then this is just like, in a way, he was a tragic hero. He was who had been raised. He was well respected. He reached, like, achieved so much, like, of a high status among mm-hmm. the people in France and to ultimately become a sadistic killer.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What's that thing? You live long enough to watch yourself become the bad guy? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So you die a hero, like, or you die a hero and live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Isn't that some Batman shit?
You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yes. So he's been forgotten, but, you know, he's still among France. He's still, like, widely talked about. Yeah. And supposedly his actions and, like, his whole life story have inspired the folktale legend of Bluebeard. And is believed to have been the inspiration of Bram Stoker's Dracula novel in 1897.
Damn, so that's where Blueface came from? I'm just kidding.
I mean, wow. Yeah.
So
his father, Bluebeard.
I just want to drop a point. Yeah. Not a point, like a... He literally tried to blame his sign mm-hmm. for the way that he was.
Yeah.
Because he was like, the constellation that I was born under. It's not my fault that I'm a Scorpio looking ass.
Yeah, like... My bad. Like, I didn't ask for this. My bad. Kind of head ass. Oops. Sorry, I was born into a wealthy family and didn't know any better. Yeah, like, I think everything, it just went from good to, like, fucking worse.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I needed to put in that whole background of where he was. You know?
Especially at the end, because mm-hmm. he was, like, no one really knew, like, what flipped it. Maybe it was Joan of Arc. He was like, no, it's my sign. But no, it's because of my family. Like
the stars were aligned.
Yeah.
Margin like, retrograde. I don't know what happened.
Fuckhead, man. Wow, that was a good ass story.
It gives me like fucking chills because like I read, you know how some journals or stuff online and you have like a comment section. Someone was like, he was just a misunderstood man. And I was like, he was not a misunderstood man. And then some other one like person was just like, this is like a true example of a rise and fall. And I was like, mm-hmm. honestly, yeah.
The it's rise and fall.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm shooketh to the core.
I'm glad. That was my intention.
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
That was an amazing story. Ow, Maddie.
What the fuck is that? Oh, shit. So we got hungry and decided just ordered food.
Yeah, we just ordered some food from Postmates.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to Postmates. So I have another story.
Yes, what is this?
Story number two.
Murder makes me hungry. What? Anyways, continue.
This is the serial killer of criminals. He's known as the Brazilian Dexter.
Okay, let's go. Let's fucking go.
His name is Pedro Rodriguez Filho. Mm-hmm. He is, like I said, the Brazilian Dexter.
Uh-huh.
He is known to have killed other criminals. So if you remember the show Dexter, which was my favorite, I fucking love that show. You didn't watch it or did you not like it? What?
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's, I mean, it's okay. Okay. At least you didn't say you don't like it.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I've heard good things, though, so I trust it.
Yeah, it's really good. You should watch it. Okay, I like it. I think it's on...
I'll binge watch it.
I honestly think it's on Hulu. I think that's where I watched that.
I think so, yeah.
So watch it.
Okay. Deal.
He's responsible for at least 70 murders, 10 he committed before he was 18. Roughly 47 people he murdered inside the jails that he was actually in.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. So he was setting his dominance.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really get like very in depth into it because this was like a quick story that I wanted because I was actually, what was I doing?
Watching Dexter?
I think I was looking up my notes for Luis and I came across him.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, I should look into that later on. And then I was on Instagram and he popped up again. And I was like, I'm going to look into this. I have to. This is obviously, it's meant to be. Ooh, let's do this. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah. So his first crime was actually committed at the age of 14. It was his town's vice mayor. The reason he killed him was for firing his dad, saying that he, I believe, robbed someone or stole something like food from somewhere.
Yeah.
But it wasn't true. After killing him, he fled to Sao Paulo, which is in southern Colombia, where he killed a drug dealer there. He also met a drug leader's widow, Maria, and they lived together until she was actually executed by either police or gang members.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. One site told me it was the police. One site told me gang members. I really couldn't figure out which one it was. So.
Damn.
Yeah. Before she was actually executed, he was, quote-unquote, forced to eliminate rival drug leaders and kill three ex-cronies. So when he met Maria, he basically took the role of her deceased husband.
So he became, like, that leader.
Yeah, he took over that. When Maria was executed, Rodriguez was actually able to escape and eventually found soldiers of his own and set up his own business. So after she was killed, he was like, all right, let's...
He, like, kind of built, like, his own empire.
Basically, yeah. Okay. After some time, he basically went on a killing slash torture spree seeking revenge for Maria's death. So he was going around killing people, trying to figure out who's the reason that she was killed.
And why. And
but, yeah.
That, yeah.
His next, quote-unquote, big murder was his father. Yes.
So he killed his father.
He killed his own dad.
Yeah, what a dick.
Rodriguez's dad actually...
he just got fired too?
No, this was years later.
Well, I mean, still though.
His father killed his mother, so...
Oh, understandable then.
Pedro's mother with a machete.
Why?
Hitting her 21 different times.
Oh, no.
It didn't really say why, though. I wish it did.
Yeah.
Probably like, for some... Fuck? He probably did it out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
So Rodriguez actually visited his father in jail where he stabbed his own father 22 different times.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Why the fuck you?
This was the sick part.
Oh.
This is when I had to take a step back and was just like,
just bring it. Just bring it to the table.
He even cut out his father's heart, chewing on it and spitting it out.
Damn.
He cut his fucking dad's heart.
Oh.
Out.
Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. How?
Like an apple.
Like he's hungry.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, murder is tiring.
And
you get hungry.
He was finally arrested on May 24th, 1973.
Back to the heart.
Yes.
Did he eat it? Or he just took like bits and pieces?
He cut it out, took a bite of it, and just spit it out. So kind of like a poo, fuck you.
Damn. Okay,
continue. I would. Yeah, it sounds like, bad, but that. I would have loved to see that. It sounds like that sick image? And twisted.
Or like just like him doing it,
like the anger, like
that revenge.
Like I wouldn't. It sounds terrible to say. Like I want to see it in a movie or something.
Yeah, but.
But it sounds like a crazy scene. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it was in a movie. Like it sounds like something that would happen in the movies.
Yeah. Like what the fuck.
Yeah. So like I said, he was finally arrested on May 24th, 1973. I put a hashtag fun fact.
Hell yeah, let's bring it.
They put him in a police car with two other criminals, one being a rapist. When the police opened the car door, Rodriguez killed the rapist.
Wow.
Yeah, while he was in the car with them.
Damn.
They fucking killed him. They don't know how. Can't
even be mad at him anymore.
They don't even know how. But he did.
Damn.
He was interviewed saying that he got a thrill and joy out of killing other criminals. Also said his favorite method of murder was stabbing or hacking with blades.
Oh, wow.
So he loved to see the pain. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the sadistic dude that you talked about.
Yeah.
I can't remember how to pronounce his name.
It's fine, me neither. It was Gilles de Rais.
Gilles de Rais.
Yeah. All Frenched out.
He was initially sentenced to 128 years, but from crimes he committed while in jail, it upped it to 400 years.
Fuck.
But, like Luis, there's law, so in Brazil, Brazilian law, the maximum sentence is 30 years, so he served four additional years.
Need to get together with those laws.
Yeah, so on April 24th, 2017, he was released.
Oh, shit. What is he up to now?
Well, he was actually rearrested in 2011 for riots, but he was released in 2018. Mm. Apparently, he has a YouTube channel now where he talks about his crimes, I believe.
Can we watch it?
I mean, we could watch it once we end this. I'm down.
What the fuck? I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, it's like, you can't even be mad at him. It's because he's like,
Like, you can be mad for the fact that he killed people.
He did, yes.
But it kind of falls back on.
They were already like shitty drug lords.
They rapists.
Probably did like so much. Yeah, rapists. Like the crimes they've committed probably were like exceeded
what he did. Yeah.
So it's like it was like one of those, like he was trying to be a hero, but they probably didn't think of him like that. There you go, dying again.
Sorry. That hurt. That would really hurt. But yeah, that's Pedro Rodriguez Filho. Rodriguez is with an S, not a Z.
Rodriguez, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I thought it was really cool. I just wanted to do quick notes on it just so we can drop some stuff about him.
Hell yeah. Respect. Yeah. Honestly.
Mad respect.
Mad respect.
We wanted to thank you guys for listening to the episode. I don't know how else to segue into this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much for listening and just been listening. We made it to episode 5.
That
big five. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. We wanted to remind y'all to please, 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 please send your stories to our email.
Yes, send them.
From hellthecamepodcast@gmail.com. Send us your parents' stories, your family stories. Mm-hmm. We really, 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 we really want to do an episode on strictly just your stories. Mm-hmm. We wanted to remind y'all about our Patreon, FHTC podcast. You'll get our love and appreciation, a shout out on the second episode of the month, and obviously
how much is a sticker.
It's $2 or more.
Excuse me?
$2 or more.
For real?
For real. All
right. That could be our commercial.
That's our commercial. Yeah, $2 or more. We wanted to remind y'all to follow us on all social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Maybe even one day a YouTube channel. Who knows?
That'd be sick.
Right? Yeah. It's FHTC Podcast. That's FHTC Podcast.
PODCAST.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget to rate us on Facebook.
5 stars.
Apple Podcast. Spotify Podcast, I think, even does it.
Share.
Yes. Send us to your family members.
Make them listen.
Please. I also wanted to let you guys know our next episode we already have planned. We're going to have Gabby from Revolting Reviews.
Ooh, who?
Gabby from Revolting Reviews.
Gabby?
Gabby.
The Gabby.
Yeah, we're going to have her on. That's going to be a dope-ass episode. Don't forget, we're going to be on Toast and Honey.
Oh, We're going to be recording with them.
Yeah, we're going to be recording with them tomorrow. We'll post on Instagram when they release that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
From Hell They Came. We love you guys. Sleep tight, freaks.
Fuckers.
Stop. I hate you.
After we were done, Maddie remembered that she had a story to tell. Take it away, Maddie.
So I just wanted to talk about this really cool thing that I did for school.
Oh, tell me.
So not last Thursday. Wait, what's today?
Saturday? Today's Saturday.
Okay, so not Thursday had passed, but last Thursday, we went to a cadaver lab. Deadass.
Why didn't you tell me?
I just forgot. I was like, it literally just clicked, and like we're talking about all of this. We're just like,
oh my god.
So we went to a cadaver lab, and I just wanted to point out that it is open. Well, not open, but it's anybody could really go.
Oh my god.
It's out in. We could go. For us as like a class, we had to bring like $20 each.
Oh my god, how much is it gonna be for us?
That's too? What I'm saying. Like, I'm not entirely sure how they do different rates or like individuals. But I'm pretty sure we could like just end up going one day. But it's out in Spring Branch. And it's pretty much just like a lab where they had said a lot of doctors and people who are just wanting to advance in the medical field, they go and they dissect these bodies.
Uh-huh.
And we had gotten to, we fucking saw like
an actual dead body. Oh my god.
I believe her name is Veronica. I couldn't remember. Because it was just kind of, yeah.
Aww.
It wasn't. And she was an elder lady. She died at age 86. So we go in, right? It's like early in the morning, like 9. Uh-huh. We go in and we pretty much get talked to with the people who work there. Okay, so you know we go in there and it's like a 45-minute to an hour drive.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was gonna ask, where is Spring Branch?
Like 45 minutes to an hour, like going north, like 281 north.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't ever go that way.
Yeah, it's like out there. But so you know, we were there and so they talked to us about what we're gonna do, what's gonna happen. The biggest thing that my teacher stressed out about was the smell. Oh, have you ever dissected like an animal before? Like in school?
I dissected a frog.
Do you remember that smell? Time. Like that embalmed smell?
Yeah.
It's pretty just like much of that, but like just I guess more overwhelming. 2000. Yeah, like times
set to 2000.
Times, yeah, like level 9 to level 11.
Oh my god.
But so we went in there and you know it was time to see the body.
Uh-huh.
And so before we got everything we pretty much put on these like the coat or like just something to protect our what we're wearing already.
Like your lab coat, your mm-hmm. goggles, your
we got gloves. Goggles, gloves, yeah, all that. The whole shebang. Yeah. And so she was just like still talking to us about what's to expect, what's expected, what we're gonna see, uh-huh. how she's gonna do things. So it's pretty much it was like a long table and that the body is underwater. Oops. So and my class isn't that big, it's like maybe like 12 to 15 people. Uh-huh. So we're all gathered around basically and there's like a lever on the table that like raises it up. So we see like this body just rise up from the table. And basically, and I'm like, holy shit, like I'm doing this right now. So she's rising up and she's like, of course, covered, like the whole body's covered. Uh-huh. And she's like, okay, like I'm uncover her. So she uncovers all of her other, like her private parts were covered, her chest was covered, and her face was covered at first. So we started from like, and everything was kind of already cut up because they've had that body they keep the bodies for about a year.
What?
Yeah. And that's how long they can pretty much keep it before like just death or just decomposing takes over.
Uh-huh.
And so, like they even have their obituary as to who she was, what she did in her life, and this whole obituary just, who was she, like who she was and all this stuff. So they even had a plaque, like when you walk in you could read it.
Mm-hmm.
And the print was so small so I couldn't read it.
Aww.
I was like, damn. But so the body, she was 86, so pretty much everything was already cut up for you and we got to pick skin, like with of course with the gloves, but we got to pick the skin, like peel it off. Like her leg. And before that, the lady, she had mentioned like, oh, this lady had surgery, she's had bruises, cuts. So if you see him on the skin, like point him out to me. Like, I want to know what you're observing and all this stuff. And so,
oh my God.
With her knee, you could tell she had knee surgery. And so you could see like the cuts and the incisions that were made like in her past. And you could still see them. And then how you could see like how it infected even under the skin. And it was just like super cool. So we did like, we went from like the toes to the legs, to your femur, to the hips, we took off her breasts. Like, her whole chest, we took it off. Well, it was already cut.
Yeah, it was cut, but she, like, you lifted it.
We got to
it.
Hold it. Like, all of us got to hold, like, her
like
chest.
Her boob?
Yes.
Oh, my
and
God.
So, we got to hold that. We took off the rib cage. So, we got to hold her ribs.
Oh my god, Maddie.
Like her liver, her kidneys, like pretty much every organ in there we've got to hold and pass it around, and it was so fucking cool. And it was like really intense, just knowing about the different functions and the systems and just like,
sorry,
I was like, what's going on?
Like, what am I what was I gonna do?
And just like, and like you could see like the, and there's like a tendon that connects from like your bicep up into like your shoulder,
uh-huh, for you to like,
yeah, to like a little flex,
yeah.
And it's, she described it as like a guitar, and you could see it like dead ass, you could feel it, and you could like pluck it like you would a guitar, and it's about the same strength as like a cord
or like a string. Dope. Yeah,
it was like really cool. We got to hold lungs, it was fucking the whole sick shebang. Yeah. Heart, damn. The heart was like already split open, and you could see like
the valves.
Yeah, you could see the liver. On her, her liver was dark, so a lot of people were like, "Oh, she's a smoker," but it's like she brought like a point.
I thought your liver is when you drink.
Yes, I was like, wait, one of them. Yes, I was thinking of her lungs.
Yeah,
her lungs. Her lungs were dark. Her liver was actually a little messed up too.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were like, "Damn, she was a partier." I was all.
Fucking
no. But her lungs were dark, and she had made a point where she was like, well, maybe she wasn't a smoker, because back then people smoked a lot,
mm-hmm,
and how it was more a regulated thing, and that it could be like maybe she just didn't smoke as she was from secondhand and all that stuff. And pretty much the whole time, it's just we had to, as a class, like see what was like she died from.
An observer.
Yeah, and she mentioned she had cervical cancer. She had, like, a lot of things kind of just going on with her.
Oh, my God.
But in the end, it was heart failure.
Damn.
We even got to see the brain.
What are you going to school for?
Radiology.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember you posted. That's right.
Yeah.
Damn.
But it was cool because it's, like, I've never gotten the chance to do that. Like, it was really cool. But, yeah, open to the public. Anyone could really schedule an appointment. Not sure about the prices, but...
Bye, guys.
Bye.